You guys ever had a job you hated? Anybody have a job you hated? Thank you. Someone's raising their hands. There we go. What made you hate it? Go ahead. Just shout it out. What was horrible about it? Steve?
Rotating shifts.
Oh, absolutely. It's the worst. Anything else? Chris? Cleaning out stuck up drain lines. Who? Someone over here said boss? You're the boss. You were. That's awesome. Anyone else? What's that?
Getting up so early.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that's the worst. Give me another one. One more.
Having to go to work
at all. Yeah, it stinks. We've all had jobs and work and experiences, and if you haven't, you will eventually just keep sticking it out and working long, and you'll find something where it was just horrible. And a lot of it is like what Steve said, you know, you don't get to control your schedule. They're calling you last minute, or you get the schedule last minute. Hey, can we go out to eat next week? No, I don't know when I get my schedule. You know, I gotta wait. I mean, it's the worst, right? Or you have to, maybe it's what you had to do at your job, like Chris said, or how you felt after you were done with your job. It just drained the life out of you, and you just wanted to strangle people if you worked retail. You know, you've been there, you've experienced that before. Or maybe your boss was just a jerk, and just the kind of person that just, got under your skin, and you couldn't stand to be in their presence, and they were the one telling you what to do. They're bossing you around. They're telling you what to do. Maybe they had no boundaries. They had inappropriate conduct. Or they would call you at home, you know, and say, hey, could you come into work? Or they'd ask you questions about work on your off time. I'm off. What part of off don't you get? You know, these kind of things. Or they would overwork you and underpay you, right? We've all had these experiences before. And today I want to talk to you about the worst job or relationship, because the same things we could say about relationships. Okay, if you haven't had a job, you've probably been in a relationship where you felt like they were a jerk, where you were overworked and underpaid, where it just did not pay off. It was a bad relationship. And today I want to talk to you about the worst relationship that I've been in. And this whole sermon is dedicated to outing this person. It is. All right? So, and you all know him. You all know him, and you've all had a relationship with him, and he's treated you like garbage too. So let's all spend some time getting really honest about this guy called sin. All right? Yes, capital S, lowercase I-N. Let's call him sin. He has a name. His name is sin. And nobody should have to work another minute for sin. None of us should have to work another day. And you're like, well, how is sin a boss? We'll get to that. We're going to deal with that, okay? And I promise I won't be too long. It'll be fairly painless. We'll be out here by about 11 o'clock, okay? So, but you got to hang on and don't fall asleep. Okay, here's how it all started. Back in Romans chapter 5, it talks about back in Genesis chapter 1. In Romans chapter 5, and I'm not going to read it to you because we're going to read a lot from Romans chapter 6. But you could read it later when you go home. The last couple verses of Romans chapter 5 kind of outlines this thing. And here's the bottom line. One man broke it, and his name was Adam, and then one man fixed it, and his name is Jesus. Adam broke everything. And before we can kind of get into it, we got to talk about what is sin. And here's what happened, and this is the story in Genesis kind of explains it. What is sin? Where does it come into play? The story of Genesis is where God created the world, and he created us, okay? 7 days. Now, I know some of you might not be a Christian here this morning. Some of you might be more into science and stuff, and you might believe in evolution. I'm not fighting you on that this morning. That's fine, you know. Just bear with me through this story and understand this, because this is really important. And if you're a Christian, then lean into this, because this is going to explain why you feel the way you do because of our history as humanity. Some of you have built a house, And you, because you built the house, you got to design the layout, right? Allison and Steve, you guys built a house not too long ago, a year or two ago. And they got to design the layout. Not everything they wanted in the layout, but for the most part, they could say, well, we want a bathroom here, we want this here. And they could pick where they wanted stuff because they were the creators. They're footing the bill. They're saying what I want. And it's the same thing. If you create something, then you're the boss. So God creates the world and everything in it. He creates humanity. And because he created it, because he made it, because he had the blueprints, he's the boss. So he gets to pick what goes. And so there's two people in the world, Adam and Eve, and God had one rule. The one rule was, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This one tree you're not supposed to eat of. You guys have heard this before, but bear with me. So this is where we first meet the sin, with a capital S. And sin comes and speaks to them through Satan, the snake, okay? And the snake talks to them, and Satan sells them on sin. And says, hey, you should really try this sin thing. This sin thing is really cool. And what it is, what he sells them on, is that God is trying to keep something from you. God knows if you eat of this tree, you will learn something that only God knows. And he doesn't want you to have all the information. He's hiding it from you. He's keeping you in the dark. And so you should expand your mind. You should eat this tree and figure out what God's hiding from you. And so they thought that it was better to live outside of from under God's authority rather than under God's authority. So they decided to break God's one rule. They believed a lie. They believed the lie that sin would be a better master for them than God, because sin would let you do whatever you want. Right? We've all heard that before. Do whatever you want, man. Do what feels good. Why not? Why not? Well, for instance, God says don't have sex before you're married. He says, I made that for a special thing, for this special thing, for marriage, for married people. And sin, on the other hand, says, that's ridiculous. Why would you listen to that? That's so dumb. Why would you limit yourself from that freedom? Let's pick three commandments, right? Stealing, lying, and coveting, okay? Sin says to us, is it really stealing if you cut out of work a little bit early, even when you didn't tell your boss you were going to, or if you pad your expenses on that trip? I mean, come on, they took our bonuses away, right? Everybody's doing it. Is that really stealing? I don't know. What about lying? Ladies, when you go shopping and you come back and your husband says, what'd you spend? You know, and you tell him like three things, but leave off the other 10, you know? Well, I told him I bought these things. Like, I did. That's not lying. I just kind of hide it a little bit. Maybe it's not the full truth. Hey, it's not. And we rationalize it in our minds. We've all been there. Or what about coveting, you know? It's not wrong to want nice things, you know, sitting on the porch looking at your neighbor's truck. Oh, that's a nice truck. It's a nice house. It's a nice wife. You know, where's the line go? We start to covet. You know, I'm just admiring. Is it really wrong? And sin tells us these things are not wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, sin is amazing at helping us rationalize all the things that we want to do. It does. It helps us rationalize this stuff. Sin tells us what we want to hear. We've all grown up with sin as a personal guide and an advocate for us. Every single one of us have. If you're a human being, you've grown up with this advocate kind of living with you your whole life. And we're good at working for sin. We're good at working with sin. Sin is a great leader for us. And we know his whims. We know we have no problem saying yes to most of sin's requests. We know his whims. We know when he's finicky. We know how to deal with it. We're used to calling when it's not a convenient time. I mean, after all, he's so persuasive. He's a very persuasive guy. He persuaded Adam and Eve to walk away from God. So this is how we've all lived. We've lived with sin, just kind of saying yes to whatever we felt like, until Jesus came along. Jesus came along. And this is the second part of that Romans chapter 5, the end of the chapter there. When Jesus comes along, he comes and says, come work for me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come work for me. I'm a different kind of leader. I want to lead you in a different kind of living, a different kind of life. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, sometimes we're like, I don't know, that's going to mean I'm going to have limits, right? I don't want any limits. Who wants limits in their life? And Jesus actually says to us, you can't do that. You can't go to that place. You can't do that thing. And we're like, I don't know if I really want Jesus telling me what to do. I mean, sin used to let me do whatever I wanted. But Jesus says, you can't do that because you're better than that. And I want something better for you. I really want something better for you. I know where that road leads, Jesus will tell us. I know where that road leads. It leads to pain It leads to brokenness, broken relationships. It leads to shame. You know how you feel after you hang out with sin? It leads to depression. It leads to all this baggage and this stuff that we really don't want. We really don't want it. And it's left there, kind of this aftertaste in our mouth after hanging out with sin. He says, I have so much more for you. I want you to have an enriched marriage. I want you to have healthy relationships with your kids and with your mom and your dad. I don't want to see you hurt like you used to be hurt when you spent all that time hanging out with that guy, with Sid. Financially, I don't want you to be choked financially. And so I give you these biblical principles on what to do with your finances. I don't want you to have to deal with that stuff. I want to introduce you to real joy and a different way to live. And if you're a Christian this morning, you love Jesus for this very fact, because you've walked with him and he's taught you some of these things, and it's awesome. It's really awesome when you hang out with Jesus and you start to live that way and walk that way. It's really, really good. And you want to follow Jesus because he's awesome. But what do you do then with this other guy that you spent your whole life with? I mean, he's like a best friend almost. I mean, what do you do with the sin guy? Because he doesn't go away just because now you're hanging with Jesus. He doesn't go away. He keeps calling us. Even though we have a new master, even though we have a new boss, a new leader in our life, he keeps picking up the phone. Hey, what you doing tonight? You want to hang out? You know, let's go do something. Let's go cause some trouble. Let's go do something fun like we used to do. And Jesus is very understanding. He gives us a break. He gives us all kinds of grace when we go and we mess up and we go and we work and hang out with sin and we come back. But Romans chapter 6, verse 1 kind of answers this question. What do we do with sin? It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then it answers, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And the question is this, should we continue to hang out with sin so that Jesus can learn to be more understanding? Should we continue to hang out with sin so that Jesus can be more understanding? Well, no, that's pretty dumb. Jesus is already pretty understanding, so, you know, That doesn't make any sense at all. Romans chapter 2 gives us the answer. God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And I read a bunch of scripture there, and you might be confused by that. But what it's talking about is transformation. I say over and over again that if you will meet Jesus, then he will forgive you of all the stuff you did with sin. All of the sin that you've done in your life, he'll forgive that. Wipe it off clean. He will transform you and make you brand new. Completely transform you from the inside out. And you'll live forever with him. Starting today. Yeah, this body on the outside will die, but you'll get a new body someday. And you continue to live with him for eternity. It's pretty cool, right? And transformation part is really special. It's a transformation from life or from death to life. It's a transformation from death to life. How many of you guys watch makeover shows? My wife is like seriously into the Food Network. And she watches it nonstop. And there's this one show called Restaurant Impossible. You guys see that? Anybody? Okay, Restaurant Impossible, the guy got 2 days. He's got to go into a restaurant and make over the whole place. And he shows up, and the family's a wreck. They're like crying. We spent all our money. We're broke. You know, our restaurant is dumpy. It's like nasty tablecloths, and the decorum needs fixed. And he's got 10 grand in 2 days, and he's going to work it out. And he's going to transform everything. And these people are not just broke. They're broken. They are broken. Their relationships and everything in 2 days. He's going to give them a brand new restaurant. And after he leaves, they're changed forever. The restaurant is forever changed. In fact, some of them don't like the change if you read online, because they're old customers that like the old way. They don't come back anymore. And the change changes the restaurant forever. It never can go back to what it used to be. The menu's changed. Everything's changed. After Robert comes in and spends a couple days with them. And it turns their whole world upside down. And then he leaves. he leaves. And you have the same people there who used to do the same things in the same restaurant with a new decorum and everything, but Robert's gone. And some of them still fold and die because they don't carry it on. What about us, though? We kind of have the same thing. We walk with sin our whole lives. We come into church one day, or a Christian person meets us and starts saying, hey, check out this Bible. This is cool. You could meet someone else. You could walk with a new person. Jesus. He's awesome. And we say, okay, let's try that out. We meet Jesus, who says, come, follow me. Work this way. I want to completely transform you and make you brand new. But Jesus will never leave us like Robert does, the restaurants. He's with us and he sticks it out with us forever. And we're in this together, he says. You are born anew in my family. And the truth is, this transformation also includes a death. Because we die to our old life. Our old person of who we used to be dies. And that means that we lose some old friends. It means we might lose some old customers or familiar sites that we used to go to or hang out. Maybe some tastes that we used to overindulge in that now we want to control in our life. We die to the sin family. We're no longer in that family. And all those things, to be honest, were killing us. They were killing us. Now imagine this. Imagine you're dead. Okay, you got that? Everybody's holding their breath. Okay, quit imagining. I don't want anybody to pass out. No, but imagine you're dead, you're in the ground, you're in the grave, you know, you're all covered in dirt and everything, and you just, all you do all day is like this, you know, just, you know. And one day, someone shows up and brings you back from the dead. I mean, like, straight up like Lazarus, out of the Bible, come forth, you know, and you, like, come out of the grave, and you're like, whoa, and you got a new body, you got new skin and everything. And they take you home, they give you new clothes, and you're all cleaned up, and there you are, and we're sitting, we're drinking tea together, right? If you don't have tea, it's a shame. But we're sitting and we're drinking tea together, and you kind of look at me, and like kind of gazing off, and they just say, you know, sometimes I miss the dirt in my mouth. And when it rained, the worms would get all squishy and curled up in my eyes. You know, people used to bring me flowers. Someone would cut my grass. I miss that. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? Like, come on. You're actually getting nostalgic about death, like being in the grave. What? That makes no sense at all. But if we're honest with ourselves, we would probably all agree that we've done that before, right? We've done that before. We used to work a horrible, crummy job, but then every once in a while we think about it and say, man, you know, I used to have some good times there. No, it was horrible. Or you were in a bad relationship, and then you're like, oh, you know, maybe I should call them up. No, what are you doing? What are you thinking? And we all do this. And Romans chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 explains it. It says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, that's Jesus, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We're no longer enslaved to sin. We don't have to do what he says. We don't have to go where he goes. We don't have to do any of that stuff that we used to do when we were with sin. That's our old boss. And we were overworked and underpaid when we were with him. And it was just a horrible situation. So, what do you do when your old boss sin calls? What do you do? Do you work a shift? Do you get back with him? I mean, do you go and you hang out? Here's something you need to understand. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the last verse in this chapter says this. It says, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Our old boss is not just a jerk because he only cares about himself. He never cared about us. He led us into all kinds of addictions, had bad habits, bad relationships, bad stuff. We wish we could take back. Most of our regrets come from hanging out with sin. He's not only a bad boss, but he pays. The currency that he gives us is death. Is death. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means this. You resurrect your old stuff. You resurrect your old stuff. Remember, you were dead in the grave? And with it, all the old pain, the old shame, the guilt, the depression, everything that you came to Jesus to get rid of, you resurrect that. And at the same time, you start to kill the new joy and the life that you have in Christ, because sin pays death. And you resurrect it. And it stinks. It stinks. And we've all felt this before. And here's my main point. If you don't take anything else away from this, take this home, write this down, get a tattoo of it, you know, skywrite it in the sky. Just remember this week, okay? Working for sin will do you in. It's pretty simple, right? Working for sin will do you in. You go hang out with that guy, it's going to wreck you. It is going to mess you up. It's going to kill all the good stuff you've got growing and just reanimate all the dead, nasty stuff, the feelings and the garbage that you've been trying to get rid of, that Jesus is helping you work through and take out of your life. And the truth is, you have to pick sides. You just absolutely have to pick sides. Romans chapter 6, it continues on, verse 12 through 14. I'm not going to read it right now for time, but it says we have to pick sides. If we are dead in Christ, how can we continue to serve sin? We don't have to. We either will serve our master Jesus and yield our body to him, or we'll give it back to sin. So, what now? I know some of you guys this morning, and I'm going to wrap it up, but some of you guys are saying, well, gee, I wish I'd heard this message 3 days ago, because now I resurrected all my stuff, you know, and that stinks. Or maybe a week ago or last night, you know, I kind of have a hangover from hanging out with sin, you know, just all these emotions and these feelings. What do I do now, Ron? What do I do when I've already messed up and spent time hanging out with this guy? And the truth is, if you're not a Christian, then I know you haven't agreed with everything I've said so far, and that's okay. But you feel that something here is true. You feel that the sin, hanging out with sin, is not the best thing for your life. It's not. And here's how I know. Because on some level, you don't want this. You don't want, maybe you justify it for your own lifestyle. And I get that. We all do that, right? Whether you're a Christian or not, we all justify our own stuff, our own choices. But you don't want your kids to make those same choices. You don't want your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, the people you love and care about the most, you don't want them to make those same kind of rationalizations and those choices. In fact, you tell, no, don't do that. No, I know I did it, but it worked out okay for me, you know. But I don't want you to. We do that, right? That's how I know that on some level you agree with me. You agree with me that this sin stuff is not the best for their life. And it's not, if it's not the best for their life, it's not the best for your life. It really isn't. Let's be honest, okay? So what do you do? I know you want more. I know you want more for them, for your family. I know you want more for yourself. What do you do? Well, the good news is this, that I know someone who can forgive you, who can wipe all that mess out, kill that life, and raise a brand new life up for you and bring you back from the dead. And his name is Jesus. And this morning, you have an opportunity to meet him. And he will transform your life. He will absolutely transform your life. He will give you a brand new life with him forever. And Romans chapter 6, verse 7 says this, "For he that is dead is freed from sin. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him." We also shall live with him. In just a few minutes, I'm going to ask Steve to come up, and he's going to be here at the platform, and I'm going to invite Pastor Joe to come up and pray with you. And if this morning you want to know Christ, you want to say, yeah, I want a new master. I want to change from hanging out with sin to then let that part of my life die, to walk away from that for real and walk to Jesus. This is your morning. This is your morning. But I want to spend 30 seconds talking to Christians, because I know a lot of you guys claim to be Christians. You call yourself Christian. That's why you're at church this morning. What do you do when, after coming to Christ, you're messing up still. You're still answering the call in the middle of the night from sin, and you're going and hanging out and doing the things you wish you wouldn't done and resurrecting all that. You got the garbage all over, and you just feel gross. What do you do about that? I want to give you a practical solution. It's all about scheduling. It's all about scheduling. Really. Yes, 1 John 1:9, confess your sin. You know how to come back to Christ. We've talked about that a bunch. Come pray, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want to get back with you. That's awesome. What do you do then to maintain that? It's about scheduling. I want to have a date night with my wife every week. I do. But if I don't put it on the calendar and say date night with my wife, then Steve will call me up. Hey, Ron, you want to hang out? You want to do something? You want to get lunch? Or Jim will call me up. Or Billy will call me up. And I'll look at my calendar. Yeah, I'm free. Let's do it. And then date night doesn't happen. I don't enrich my marriage. I don't invest in what I want to invest in. It's the same thing in your relationship with Christ. We've been talking about spiritual disciplines on Saturday night. I encourage you to go back and listen to those. But if you want to invest in your relationship with Christ, you have to schedule him in. You need to make sure that it happens. Schedule your life around your spiritual disciplines of prayer, fasting, scripture reading. Make sure that those are a priority in your life, that those come first, that those are being done. And then fill it with new friends. Fill your life, that old dead life is gone, so it feels kind of empty, it feels kind of barren. It's wide open. Fill it with friends. Fill it with friends who have the same goals and the same master in their life. Fill it with new activities like small groups. Come and join a small group where you can talk through the scripture, through the lessons that you hear on a Sunday morning. Volunteer and apply to join one of our ministry teams. Say, I want to spend some of my time each week or each month hanging out, playing basketball with young men, or helping out in youth group and game time, or leading a small group for teens. Volunteer, apply to join one of our groups. We have kids ministries, we got bus opportunities. It doesn't matter. Whatever your hobby or your interest is in, we've got a spot for you. It's your choice who you serve. And if you've messed up this morning, as I invite Pastor Joe to come on up, if you messed up this morning, I want you to know there's still hope. You can always come back to Christ. And if this is your first time to meet Christ this morning, then welcome to the family.
Would you all stand? Every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, I like what Pastor Ron said in verse 623. It says, for the currency for that sin, Satan would like to pay you with death. But that verse doesn't stop right there. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, today is that day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you no longer have to take that currency of death. You can come out of the grave that you're living in. Come out of that sin that you're living in. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus Christ into your life. Invite him in. Because you could know him and have knowledge of God. You could have knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you could say, well, you know, I know who he is. Big deal. But unless you invite him into your heart to live, to reside with you in your heart, it does you no good. You still receive currency of death. So I'm going to pray a prayer of invitation. And this morning, if your heart is pounding right now, that is not your blood pressure going up. That's Jesus Christ knocking on your heart's door. And he's saying, you know what? I'm not going to break down your door to let myself in. I want you to invite me in. And this morning, this prayer of invitation is to invite Jesus Christ into your heart. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I would just like you to repeat this prayer and invite Christ into your life. Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave just to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sin and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. Has anybody prayed that this morning? Raise your hand. Anyone pray that this morning? I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Well, you know, if you prayed that prayer and you really believe that Jesus Christ entered your life today, just now, this moment, you know, I have the altar open, and I would like you to come down and just kneel at the altar and just thank him. Because you would thank me if I gave you a gift, right? If I gave you a Christmas present or a birthday present or just a present for anything, you would thank me. Well, Jesus Christ just gave you a great gift of eternal life. And I would like you to come down while the musicians are playing a prayer of invitation. You know, and for the Christian this morning, there are things that you know that you've been working for the boss of sin and that you need to deal with it. You need to come down to the altar and say, God, you know what? I need your help because I can't do this on my own. I need you to be able to take this temptation away from me, this sin away from me. So the altar is open for you also. And if you've been coming here for a while and you say, you know what, I really like this family of God. I really want to get connected. And I want to join this family of God. Why don't you come down? See Brother Steve here and say, hey, Steve, you know, I really need to talk to you about salvation and I need to talk to you about membership. And also, if you've prayed that prayer this morning and you really don't know what you did, Steve will direct you to somebody that can explain everything that you just did this morning. So, with no further ado, won't you come? Just come down and just kneel at the feet of Jesus this morning. Showing your presence this morning. Thank you for moving in the hearts of those folks this morning that have come to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for those in your family that have said, you know what? I don't want to keep spitting out dirt. I want that new life that Jesus Christ has promised me. God, thank you so much. As we leave here this morning, may the memories and of past things be left behind. And may we walk in newness in life this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.